Last week we went through the history of the Rambam, the famous center between the Maram Padova and the Goy, and we also read the Shivan Chatam Sofer regarding the Heidenheim Master, and we discussed that over the years there were Gedolim. Yeah, same one. 108. We didn't finish last week. We were on the same one. So what we discussed last week is that the Gedolim went throughout the Doiris and they placed certain charumas and Isirim that in order that people should not compete and they should not be masig gevil. Now, what I would like to do in this shir, Baruch Hashem, and in the next shir is to try to define in the halacha lamas over here, because we're going to start discussing the simplest case. The simplest case is that a person buys a CD, a cassette, and he sees on it that says copyright, or if you buy a safer and it says no portion of this tape or CD may be reproduced without the express written permission or whatever, and they write sometimes, you know, threats along with that, and so on and so forth. So what is the value of these surim? So the truth is that specific case of the Rambam and the Chatam Sofer that we learned till now is not really going to shed any light on our specific question, because that specific case of the Chatam Sofer refers to a case of business competition where a person is putting another person out of business, or a person is competing in a way where he's master gevil. On the other hand, when I go in my own house and I make one extra copy of a tape, or if I make a copy of a safer where I'm not actually competing, so I'm really not doing anything to be over any of those isurim or any of those charumas. So let's see a story that happened quite a few years later, and take a look. It should be the equivalent of page number 12 in the notes. There was a yid, his name was the Frihesh Balaban, was the name of this yid, and he went and he bought from the Tifchit Shiva the rights that he's allowed to print the sefer Tifchit Shiva. That's what he did. And he had the rights to the sefer. A few years later, a person went and he printed a Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch, there was all the Meitzei Kalim, there was the Chavetz Chatz, and he put the Tifchit Shiva into the Shulchan Aruch. Like we have presently, the Pesach Shiva is a chelik of the Shulchan Aruch that we have. This yid that bought the exclusive rights to the Pesach Shiva took him to the Torah by the roof of the city of Dalkava, was the name of the roof of this city. His name is Rav Shmuel Waldberg, that was the name of this Zion. And this Zion taskin that there was nothing wrong with printing the Pesach Shiva for three different reasons. Take a look. It should be the equivalent of page number 12, the Shiva from the Shoni Meshav. The Shoni Meshav was about to show Nattenzin, and he writes as follows. He says, Derech Agav is Shalom Mem Zalit, on page number 12 of the notes. There's no page number 12, but the page beforehand, you'll see, it's right after the Magid Yehida. 10 and 11 is the Magid Yehida. And the Shoni Meshav says as follows, in Shalom Mem Zalit, Derech Agav, regarding the Askumas and the Gzeirus that Rabbunim are going to have forces by Matrisim, and he says, I'll write what I responded to this roof, whose name is Hacharis Harav Rav Shmuel Waldberg, who is the roof of Zalkava. And he says as follows, I got his letter, and regarding the story of the Matzvis Milavov, the prince of Lavov, whose name was Reb Yosef Hirsch Balaban. And this Reb Yosef Hirsch Balaban, the Dvar Hatzusa, regarding the printing of the Shulchan Aruch Yerideya with the Prima Gudim, Chavetz Chaim, and the Pesachet Shiva, which was printed by a Yid, whose name was Reb Yosef Tzvi. And he says as follows. He says, he may have sucked that even though he bought the exclusive rights to the Sefer Pesachet Shiva, but after he came, the other person is allowed to go and print the Sefer. And he says as follows. He says for a few reasons. He says firstly, this he went and he tanned this Rav Yosef Tzvi,
Shekula has schiz, I'm sorry, this Balaban Tana, that he brought a schiz ma'aita machaba, v'alzeh heshev ma'lutza. He gave the following responses, that even though you bought the rights to the Pizchachiva, apel tiken, the person is allowed to go and print the Pizchachiva in a Shulchan Aruch. He says as follows. He says, number one, he says, the mechaba of the Pizchachiva sold to him, kol schiz sheyuva l'yudai, every schiz that the Baal Pizchachiva himself has. If the Pizchachiva himself was alive, and the Pizchachiva himself would have taken this yid that put the Pizchachiva in the Shulchan Aruch as in Torah, he would not have the right to stop him, and he would be allowed to do what he was doing. Why? He says, Mayaka, since Shabbatfutu Yishayish, Nasuf Kif Tadik Vov, Loinis Kashim Yisr, firstly, he says, when the Pizchachiva printed its first printing of the Pizchachiva, he does not mekabel any haskumas or harumas or isirim that nobody is allowed to print the Pizchachiva. So therefore, the rule of Zalka Papaskin, that the earth of the Pizchachiva never received an isser, because you remember last week's shir, there is no concept of an isser to reprint somebody's sefer. But there were certain mechabrim that they would go and they would receive this isurim. But since he never went and he never collected isurim on his sefer, therefore, there's no issa whatsoever. He says, that's number one. And he says, secondly, he says, me'achasha, because it was printed, linis kishim issa. Demhoyikha issa hi'epsha ludin sheyesh issa adkaloi zman shegubel, he says. Va'af la'achash nimka v'spurum. Another point he says, secondly, he says, even if there was an issa, the issa was only for a certain amount of years. 6 years, 10 years, we had one that was in the Heidenheim Master that was for 25 years, but the issa was always limited to a certain amount of years. Now we have a concept that ma mucha rishon l'sheni kol schiz shetov l'yudoi. So if we say ma mucha rishon l'sheni kol schiz shetov l'yudoi, if the Baal HaPizchachiva himself was here, he wouldn't have the ability to stop a person years later from printing his Pizchachiva. Furthermore, he never was mekabel any isser in the first place. So that's two tanim why there is no isser whatsoever. What's that? So every haskumah came with a different amount of years. Some were 6, some were 10, some were 25. Oh, this story, I'm not sure how many years later it was, but you read from the shuvah, you see in the shuvah that the years usually reflect on how many years it took you to sell enough svurim to recover your investment and make some profit, and that time period clearly had lapsed. It was beyond, the Pizchachiva would have taken out his money already at this point. He says also, you read a few lines down, he says that. He says, Kam shari kamuch asurav, vigame asurav shuvim, shem mechaba, hitzvah shem roch titanim. Then he says another point. He says, let's discuss this from another angle. He says, part of the issue is that there is hafsugas devil. What does hafsugas devil mean? It's, you're competing with me. Now, remember, fear competition is mutter, but when I'm competing directly for money that you're supposed to get, that's also. So he says as follows. He says, the Baal Pizchachiva himself printed a sefer that only had in it the Pizchachiva. What did this Yid do? This Yid went and he printed a Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom there's a Pizchachiva. Now remember, when I'm competing with you, I have to compete in the same form that you're doing the business, that I'm stealing your business. Let's say, just to pick a number, a set of Pizchachiva would cost $50 if there was only the Pizchachiva in there. A set of Shulchan Aruch would cost $300. So you're going to say to me, the Zalka Baruch Tanud, that a person that prints the Pizchachiva in the Shulchan Aruch is being master gevilt from the person that has the Pizchachiva. He says, of course not, because when I want to buy a sefer, I'll either buy a single sefer for $50, a Pizchachiva, or I'll buy a Shulchan Aruch. If I buy the Shulchan Aruch, we'll come along with all of those nice tekenim. But you can't tell me that when I sell the Shulchan Aruch with the Pizchachiva, I'm taking away the business from the people that would buy just the Pizchachiva, because it's in a totally different price range. And no one's going to take the jump from a $50 sefer to a $300 sefer. So therefore, the Zalka Baruch Tanud, that because of these three tamim, number one, there were no Yisurim ever written, and number two, there was the time has lapsed already where he could have recovered his investment. And number three, he says, because the Pizchachiva on its own versus the full set of Shulchan Aruch with the Pizchachiva, they're not Hasugas Gevil, because they're not in the same
Yes? Yeah?
I don't see the third case so much, because if someone wants to see the Pitzchik was not in the
Shulchan, right.
You still needed the Pitzchik Shulchan, you would buy the Pitzchik Shulchan.
And a Hanami.
In the Shulchan, right. Even though I'm buying the Pitzchik Shulchan, if anything, it's better than much. It's worth the Pitzchik Shulchan. He's actually getting away for free. It's similar to the first case you brought in, where someone wants to undermine an excellent
interest, right.
For even less than cost. Here all continue for less than cost, because he's just including without any extra charge.
It's an excellent point, and Ramosha writes that concept in Shuvas too. When you give it away for free, Ramosha says, so then it's worse than not to give all, because you're not benefiting at all. Ramosha writes this point too. But you have to realize he's coming from a different angle. The angle he's coming from is, how many people is he really taking away from him? Not that many. You see, we're viewing this as the Shulchan Aruch became the most, one of the most popular forum, and the angle you're taking is that every house has to have a Shulchan Aruch. And since every house has to have a Shulchan Aruch, you can't have a house without a Shulchan Aruch, so then you're just giving the Pesach Shiva to everybody. Nobody is ever going to buy the safer Pesach Shiva. Now, but if you go back 150, 200 years ago, not everybody was able to afford a Shulchan Aruch. And there weren't enough people that were going to buy a Shulchan Aruch, and therefore, nobody's going to buy the Pesach Shiva. And in those days, some people would buy the Shulchan Aruch without any Mesach Kalim, because they were more limited for fun. So just simply saying that you're not directly competing on his same line. But Bezman Hazeh, you make an excellent point. Bezman Hazeh, if somebody would sell the Shulchan Aruch, which everybody needs to have, and now nobody would buy that specific sefer, then that would be a very strong point. But I think in those times it was a bit different. But listen to what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Now the Shulchan Aruch will open a totally new concept. It'll bring us to a new concept. So listen to what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says, you know, all these surahs are moiridik regarding Asugas Gevil, regarding these surahs, regarding Harumas, regarding how many years have lapsed. But the Shulchan Aruch says that this case is different than every case that we mentioned till now in the Rimu and the Chasam Soiko, and this is the Pesach Shiva case, the totally new case. Listen to what he says. He says as follows. He says, I'll skip down a couple of lines. Okay, one second. Alright, so then he says, Vihine. It's approximately 10 lines from the bottom. It's the second word in the line. Vihine kol devurav tamiyim. Tanas the Peshiva. All of these words are Tanas the Shalimeshev. All of these words are Pella. Vizev vaday. One thing is clear with the Shalimeshev. Shaseifa chudosh shematris mechaba. If you have a new sefer, you know, throughout all discussions regarding old Purim, the Maran Padova took the Rambam. Rav Heisenheim redid the Machta. But none of these Purim, the Rambam didn't belong to the Maran Padova, and the Machta didn't belong to Rav Heisenheim. But the Pesach Shiva, who wrote the Pesach Shiva? The Baal Pesach Shiva himself. So he was the sole owner of the Pesach Shiva. And he says as follows, Sei Pechuda Shematris Mechaba. Bezuchan, the Baal Mechaba was Zoycha, Shadhurav Miskabnen, Al Panei Tevel, that its sefer becomes accepted throughout the world, he's Zoycha to them. Pshita, Zut Pashar Neshif, it's Pushit, Sheyesh Lo Yitzchit Bezeh, that he has the Schit in this sefer, Lo Oilam, forever. Vahare Belafocha, Im Atfisim, Oy Mechashim, Aiza Melechet, Eir Shui Achalas, Beloy Yishitai. He says, if I come up with a concept, and let's call this concept what we do today, we patent the concept. He says, that concept belongs to me, and nobody's allowed to duplicate that concept. So the Shalomeshev says, why are they discussing the Pesach Shiva under the same context of the previous 300 years of Shiva that we discussed in last week's shiur? The Pesach Shiva was a new idea, and if it's a new idea, it belongs to the Pesach Shiva. It's just like a person who created an invention. And he says as follows, Vahari Noida, it's famous, everybody knows, Shirev Avrum Yaakov Mehoreshov, there's a Yiddish name with Avrum Yaakov Mehoreshov, Sheuso HaCheshben B'Mashim. He made the first calculator. I don't know which calculator he actually created. And what happened? What's that? I don't know if Avrum Yaakov Mehoreshov is there, I'm not sure. What's that? The extra fingers, yeah. I'm not sure which calculator this is, but he says he made a cheshbon in the machine, kol yumot his whole life, kibul schura, he went, and he got royalties, mehakira, right? The kera yurim haidai, the varsha, the kera went, and sends him royalties every single year for a calculator. It's a halayah from the Kera in Varsha that the a person who creates an invention, the invention, belongs to him. Now what raya is there from the Kera in Varsha to our Torah? Look to show you the Loyehe Torah Shlema Shaloni in the Torah Shlema should not be Kesicha the Pela Shalahem, something which HaGoyah Shekap understands as a Pashtus, Kavachoyma, our Torah should accept that when you create something, that belongs to you. V'zeh duva, sha'seichon ha'kishoy, imasim b'chol yoyim, sha'amatzah tzchiba yeshloy, ilabui koichoy. If you write a sefer, the sefer belongs to you, and it belongs to your children, your boy koichoy, zechis, and so on and so forth. That's the, so the Shalomeshev introduces us to a new concept, and the concept is that when you write a sefer, that sefer belongs to you. Go ahead. I didn't get to the problem about the approach. I didn't get to fine, we'll get to the machizadim in a few moments. But first we need to deal with a very, very strong question. Because he sold the right. So whoever bought the right, what did he buy from him? He bought the right to the Pesachiva. So this ship belongs to him. Nobody's allowed to compete. That's a Shalomeshev stock. But there's a very strong question on the Shalomeshev. What happened to the last few hundred years of history? The Shagataya has on it about 6-7 different Haskumas. And each Haskumas writes an Issa from the Maram Benet and from the greatest Gedolei Le'olam not to print a Shagataya. If the Shalomesha was correct that when I write a sefer, that sefer belongs to me, it's my mumon, so then why did the Shagataya need to go and collect all of those Isurim and Haskumas if it belongs to him? No, so Rambam, I agree with you, and the Maram did not belong to the Maram Pasuk. Agreed. And the Machta did not belong to Rudolf Heidenheim. Agreed. But what happened to the Shagat Arya, and like the Chantzoifer said, all the Bali Mechabram that started to print Surim, they right away went and they started to get the Surim. Why? For what reason? If the Shalomesha was correct, that the sefer belongs to the person that wrote the sefer. It's a very strong question on the Shalomesha.
No,
One second. He's not discussing Din Malchus Adina. He's discussing here Mitzad Halucha. Like I said, I'm going to get to Din Malchus Adina soon. The Shalomesha says that Mitzad Halucha, your creation, belongs to you. If you compose a song, nobody's allowed to reproduce that song. That song belongs to you. It's your creation. It's your genius. Your head came up with it. It belongs specifically to you. That's what the Shoyim Nation tells us. So which leads us to a very strong question. And it says that this Hashiva belongs to the Baal Mechal of this Hashiva. Nobody's allowed to reprint it. Can be 100 years later, it belongs to his grandchildren. That's what he writes. So boy, I don't want to say 100 years later. Him, his children, that's what it belongs to. Normally true, surahi. If something is common sense and logical, that becomes the halacha. And he's passing the shal to the moitzi mumen based on this. So once something becomes a surah and it's logical and it's from the neighbor, that's the halacha. Right.
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 And it's not, so then but he has to reverse it. Okay. I know, firstly, he doesn't say that. He says it belongs to him. Okay? So the Shalomeshev now is bothered by this question himself, and I listen to the Shalomeshev how he addresses the few hundred years of Gedolim that preceded his time, why they wrote all of this Yisurim. Listen to what the Shalomeshev himself writes, what? Right? Oh. Okay, so we'll address that soon. There's a shach and question mishpat. Ain't gonna have the different title, huh?
That's our question doesn't apply
here.
Why did he
have Haskumah? I'm gonna get to that. The last few hundred years of Haskumah is true. The shach has to, I'll show you the shach soon. I probably won't get the shach in this year. The problem is that the halucha ain't gonna have the different title. That's what the Machabah passes. So if you say ain't gonna have the different title, how is it even possible to have all this Yisurim from the Chassoyim and the Rimu? We will get to that, but we'll address that specific point soon, okay? Now, so he says as follows. He says go to the bottom line now and look at the tremendous chiddush that the Shani Meshach tells us. He says, Imashim Mitzvah B'Surim, this that we found in different Surim, Sha'amachaba Matfis, that the Machaba himself prints, V'goyzim al Zman Mugbul, they write it there on Zman Mugbul, listen to this, La'vishim She'en Lo Koyach Lesa Oilomis, not because the Machaba technically didn't have the right to say that if I wrote a Pesachiva, forever nobody is allowed to print a Pesachiva. Ze'enoi, the Beshaloi, the Meshui, Ligzoish, Leatisi, Oilomis, built in Yeshivsoi. If it's mine, I have the ability to make it there that nobody ever can reproduce the safe enough. If it's not with my permission, I boy Koychoi. Raksha Adarabba, look to Shalom Mesh, Vahapa, the Gefidish, on the contrary. Hamachava Ba'atmai Roitza, when you write a Seifa, you want the Seifa to be accepted throughout the world, because you want the Divrei Torah to be accepted everywhere. So therefore, since you want that your Torah should be Matzvitz, Acha Sheyitzke Limka Torah, Imavaka Sheyitzit Vodov, Alpi Taivel, Avalon Be'emet, Machava Seifa, Nisach Ke'en, Ke'en Pesachiva Sherubi Akkoyna Mahani Sheyim, Likad Mahava Torah, he writes as follows, yeah, he has to read the Lush is tremendous. So the Shani Meshach says that the Mechava himself wants that his favor should be accepted. The Mechava himself also needs to recover his time and his investment and make some money. So the Mechava writes that nobody should print his favor for the next 20 years. He's not writing a Issa, he's writing a Heter. He's writing that in 20 years from now, I'm relinquishing my rights because at that point I'll have recovered my profits. And then everybody in the world should please do me a favor and stop printing my sefer. So the Shulchan Aruch is Machaber Shachidish Niflo, that all of those Yisurim that you saw from the Gedolim was not an Issa, it was an Heter. Because without that Issa, that he's saying, I'm only limiting my Issa for the next 10, 15, 20 years. And afterwards, everyone should please print my sefer, so we should.
Better off not putting an Issa, because
then it's a So therefore, Zok the Shulchan Aruch, the fifth Yisurim that didn't put any Zman, it remains this forever. That's exactly what he
wrote.
Like the Sanskrit said, I got this question from a few people. The Sanskrit explained that it should be worthwhile for you to print a sefer. Your investment, make some money, for your time, whatever the case is. Every number will be different in every situation. But it should be kedai for you to want to write a sefer again. That's what the Sanskrit said in that long tshuva in Siman Ayin Tet. Okay. So now suddenly we have a new concept, and this concept is called intellectual property, with a Shirley Meshach Paskin, that anything which I created automatically belongs to me. However, Rabbi Zai, Kimat, most Paskin disagree with the Shirley Meshach, and they say there's no such thing. And the Shirley Meshach, while being, like they said, a wonderful surah, has very little to base his Isser on. It's a beautiful surah, but it doesn't really hold. Take a look at the Shiva on the Beis Yitzchak, page number 13. The Beis Yitzchak was the Reuven Kovner, of Yitzchak Kohen from Kovner, one of the Gedolei Olam. And the Beis Yitzchak in the second paragraph, page 13, is on the left side by the Daf. It's about 6-7 lines in the middle of the line. V'ri'isi la'agun me'levav v'sholi meshif, that sheherach v'zeh, ishita le'i d'ut la'atzef af liyat skoma, right? Shalemesha says that the inner and all those karumas is a heter, not an issa. Lahatzes acha kaloi tazman. Aber b'li haskuma v'gzeru usa lahatzes v'yesh lo yischit oilomis. Right? Forever like the Shalemesha just told us. V'acha mechila v'kvay terusoi. Look at the Beis Yitzchak. And then Roya Ryan was there. The afsha tori delay. Yes, of course the tori belongs to you. Of a mikalmukim, even shenusim lilmoid a mucha surah. Once you sold your sefer, once you gave other people permission to learn, vade ba'ayin yufanusim. A person who writes a sefer, he's noisim ba'ayin yufa, and his intention is that other people should use his surah too. Kedamim and benedurim, ba'shevayin nug ba'tzayvus ayin, v'nosli yisrul, v'ulakus avoyimus ayin hi yivoyach. And then he says, in Mehaitam, a loisan of Summa Vigoshin, Shle Atisi Kemaskin, they have Meshach Shulim. The reason why they write an Issa is because for that amount of years, you can't do it. And afterwards, everyone's allowed to do it. Imashe Kutzam, this is the Beis Yitzchak, this is what the Shanoesha was Machadish. The Imachashim Eze Melocha, if you invent, you compose a certain Melocha, Eni Rishur Acha Lusas Kemaskin Toi, nobody else is allowed to do
the same thing. Nobody's allowed to copy it. Believe Shisai. And then he brings Haraya from the Kater, the Goy. Like, hey, Toya Shaluni, Kasicha, the Pale Shabaham. Look at the Gitzel. It's totally not true. That Toya Nema, Mali Bachinim, Asata Bachinim. Toya said, I give out the Torah for free. You have to give out the Torah for free. They not Toya Kor, the Machat, but it's not a business to Toya. The Gam, look the Gitzel. What's that? You mean this is Chabot Taylor? You mean we have a Hesed today for Chabot Taylor? And Chanani, but Chabot Taylor, again, will give you the limited amount to it will limit you. You can recover your investment. The Rebbe can't take endless amounts of money. No, he says, but he's targeting the record with the point of the Shalomation that said it's ownness, that you own it forever. He said, forever you definitely don't own it. And then he said, and how about in other industries, not in Torah, the Gam between the Luchot, he says, in Eimla Yishoyin Mehamalchit, now here he suddenly discusses the concept of Dinzal Machus Adina. See, the Beit Yitzchak didn't agree with intellectual property, but the Beit Yitzchak felt that if a person gets a patent, and the patent is Mitzal Dina de Machus Adina, but then Eno Chanami, he says, Shishayachli Achus Lo'elo, Le'eda Yitzchak, Shishayachli Yitzchak Maskintai, if you went and you received the patent, of course you're going to get royalties. But if you didn't receive a patent, the Beit Yitzchak says, intellectual property on its own means nothing. Yeah, a patent, copyright. Yeah. What's that? It depends what. All right, well, we'll talk to you. I'll go into that next week.
She said tomorrow, I think your firm that you like, if you do go ahead and get a patent from or copyright from the secular government, that you would have the right to this?
Well, what he's writing is as follows. Let's just review. First of all, we have, there's the concept of a Stogas Gevul, which if you're going to copy a specific paper for yourself, so clearly you know this about Stogas Gevul, because you're a Stogas Gevul means to compete in business. If I take a page out of a paper, if I make one page for myself, there's no Stogas Gevul. Concept number two is intellectual property, which to that, the Shemi Meisha felt that a person's composition belongs to him, but they seem to strongly disagree. And I'll show soon how the other place can view intellectual property. If we'll read the Shuvah of the Kamsoito well, we'll realize in the Master for Wolf Heidenheim, where he actually went and put his own parish in there, the Kamsoito probably also disagreed and felt there was no concept of intellectual property. Concept number three, which the Beit Yitzchak is introducing us to, is Dina Malchus Adina. Since it says in Dina Malchus Adina that not one draft of this paper is allowed to be reproduced, so on and so forth. Now, there's two problems. Firstly, Papashtis, Dina Malchus Adina in copyright, Papashtis, will not necessarily apply Halacha L'maaseh of this Mala. There, we started already a few weeks ago to discuss, there's a Shachtas, the Remo, and the Machaba, of when we do apply Dina Malchus Adina, and in copyright, with the doctrine of fair use, if a person copies one paper, very likely it will not be under the Iser of Dina Malchus Adina, if we're concerned about Dina Malchus Adina. And I said I'm going to show six possible Isurim to copy a paper of a person's sefer, or to copy a tape, and you'll see that just about none of those Isurim that I'm going to show are 100% Muskim by anybody, and most of them have tremendous machloketim. Listen, we'll find six different reasons not to do it, but probably amongst the six you shouldn't do it anyway. And not you should do it anyway. There are some of the points to me, and I'll summarize the Aloha Maisa. Many cases between the tiers of all six you shouldn't do. There's no question about it. But the truth is, Dina Malchus Adina, which is the way the Beit Yitzchak signed it, is not Muslim from many, many points. Go ahead. Right. And a Hanani, but it should be better in a way, because when we take one paragraph of this sefer, one paragraph of this sefer, so we're not really competing with any specific sefer, and it's also only, that's Aleph, Beis, when Beis, and again, I started to discuss, intellectual property is probably not Negeya, the Dino Machisa is probably Mutter in this case, I mean, and Tassogos Gevul, it clearly isn't, but there's three more concepts that I haven't gotten to yet, but I want to discuss those three concepts. So now we have the Beit Yitzchak. What's that? The condition, so we will discuss in the summary sheet, if the conditions, if you're really bound by those conditions or not. I want to first just go through all of the halakhot that we have to deal with before we can answer that. Go ahead.
Even in this discourse, I think there's only
The Rei Yisrael is not concerned at all. Because he says, Mali Bechina Mafasa Bechina. But when it comes to other inventions, he wants to work with Dina Mokhisa. But you see, clearly he holds out intellectual property. Your intellectual property does not belong to you. That's what the Beis Yitzchak told. They have a choice between the Kavna Ruch and the Beis Hashol Mountains, and what's the Alucha regarding intellectual property. I want to tell you something very, very, very interesting. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who was a Shlomo Gamsfried, printed the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and a few years later another person copied the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and he printed it. So what did the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Shlomo Gamsfried do? He put an article, an advertisement in the newspaper, that everybody should know that the second Kitzur Shulchan Aruch on the market is gigambit and nobody has a right to buy it. That's what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch did. That's interesting. Did he really have the right to do that or not? Did the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch own his sefer? Which is a very, very interesting question. You know, after what we discussed, not necessarily. But that? It was not in the Zaman that was covered by the Eskumas. That's first thing. And let me tell you something even more interesting. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that we have today has under it a tirish called the Miskeres HaShulchan. The Miskeres HaShulchan met the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and Shlomo Gamsfried asked him from printing the Miskeres HaShulchan under his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He told him he had no right to do it. He said, if you want to me, I will print my Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you keep your tirish to yourself and print it separately. And there's a letter of Shlomo Gamsfried where he asked the Miskeres HaShulchan to print. Now, if you notice today, every Kitzur Shulchan Aruch we have, just about, has below it the Miskeres HaShulchan. So how did the Miskeres HaShulchan do it, even after the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch himself asked to him that he's not allowed to do it? What's that? Somebody else said, no, he printed it himself. You'll take a look at the first Haskuma that we have today in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is a Haskuma from Avrum Rottenberg. And Avrum Rottenberg writes as follows. He says, number one, he says, it was La'acha Moise of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, of Shlomo Gamsfried. He says, number one, I have no idea why he asked it. And he says, whatever reason he asked it, I'm sure La'acha Meir Esrim, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is more than happy that we're printing his sefer with another pirish. That's what he writes. He says, for whatever reason he has, I'm sure he's very happy we're doing this today. But then he adds something else. Then he adds, and he says, besides the point, he says, who says that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch belongs to the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? Public property, even though he wrote it, the sefer didn't belong to him. But it's even more interesting that this year, the Rebbe from Rattenberg was a Talmud of the Shulchan Aruch. He was a Shulchan Aruch Talmud. He was the Reuven in Lvov. He was the Mamala Mukham of the Shulchan Aruch. And he passed through clearly that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch did not belong to the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch himself. Now, was it because of the Beit Yitzchak Cheshvin of Ma'ani Bechinam, or was it because of he writes clearly that your invention does not belong to you? So many, many Paiskim didn't hold of the concept that a person's intellectual property belongs to him. Now, will I say clearly that your intellectual property doesn't belong to you? Let's take this a step further and try to define it. Go to page number 15. And the Tshuva of Ramosha Feinstein, which is a bit of a vague Tshuva, and everybody tries to figure out how Rav Moshe held regarding the subject of intellectual property. Take a look at your test. Rav Moshe discusses if you have a tape, the tape says on it that it's copyright, if you have the right to copy this tape or not. And Rav Moshe's shuva is quite ambiguous. Take a look at what he says. The duva echod, she looks at tape and give it toira. The Christ, if you write on the tape, she oyster lasoit mitate shaloi oy tape. You write on the tape, you're not allowed to copy this tape. Vade Utahi. So the Moshe writes says Usa, listen to these words. Why? Ki he Indian Shuva Ketas. Because it's worth something. Vusa have tape, the reason he made the tape was Vavir, to make money in his air. Sha'achirim Shayfi Starki Lashalam Loy. That other people that need to have his Torah tape should pay him. Shim came like him, Shemit Sidoim. Imamelo, therefore. Kivan Shihi Cheftoi, since the tape is his chefet. Therefore, nobody else is allowed to take his tape, to copy it, to use it, without his permission. Okay, then Ramosha continues. Ramosha says that if you walk into somebody else's shir while he's saying the shir, you take the shir, that tape you're allowed to copy. But the tape that he himself makes to sell it, and you bought that tape, that tape is now at a copy. Everybody says one exception that a person can announce by the shir that nobody's allowed to tape by shir besides me. And Moshe says that he has a right to do that because even though Torah is supposed to be b'chinam, but a person might feel that his shir is not perfect, so he only wants to say it amongst his crowd. And if anybody has a capture, he'll discuss it and he'll change it, but once something gets onto a tape, he's afraid that that tape is, you know, he won't be able to control it. So, go ahead.
This was,
what Moshe
said here is not competition. He's taking
Pranath
away from the...
Excellent. That's very interesting. So now we have to discuss, does Ramesha subscribe to the concept of intellectual property? It's not clear. Totally unclear that he did. Probably he didn't. Why? Because even though Ramesha said you can't copy a person's tape, right? Ramesha says why? Ramesha says because the tape is a marketable item, which means I created a marketable item. Let's call it that, and let's understand what Ramesha is saying. If I have an invention which I don't intend to, or it's not something which is earning me money, that intellectual property Ramesha clearly doesn't have a problem with. Ramesha explains that the reason why you're not allowed to copy the tape, because it becomes a tangible item, not an intangible item, because I intend to make money from it. Exactly like you just described. But let's try to understand Ramesha. Why? If Ramesha held of intellectual property, then my idea belongs to me. If Ramesha does not hold of intellectual property, so even if I'm going to make money, who says that money belongs to me? Let's try to analyze and really understand Ramesha.
Let's say you go to a shir, right?
Right.
To make an announcement. Mm-hmm. Then you take that tape, and then I get that tape. Why can't I get a copy for that? According to Ramesha, you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Ramesha says that the person intended, he wrote copyright, but he didn't intend to sell it, it should be mutter. If he wrote copyright, but his intention was to earn money, that's how he makes his living, it's mutter. That's what Ramesha writes. You say when you add the shir. No, that Ramesha addressed at the end, that copies of the copy, that's the last line of the Shuvah. He says, copies of the copies are not allowed. But your own individual copy, I think that you're, I'm not 100% sure. Take a look at the end. He says, But I'm not sure. You're asking if you made the tape of that tape itself. I would read it again before I said 100%. But let's Okay, wait, one second, slow down. So we're about to get to that. Slow down. That, in the summary, we'll discuss that specific point, lending. But let's just try to understand Ramesha. What Ramesha, I mean, it's getting a bit late, I'll take questions in a few moments, but... So that Ramesha said it's fine, if you want to make your own tape for yourself. But if I made a tape, because that's how I make a living, that I sell a shear and they sell the tape, so Ramesha says you're not allowed to copy that tape. Now, the pashtus, the cheshbon is, that when you're going to make money, it's something that's tangible. When you're not going to make money, it's something that's not tangible. That's how everybody tries to explain it. Ramesha, it's very strange to understand Ramesha that way. The biggest problem is we have a concept that koil and nara, there's no me'ila, there's no value on koil and nara. So what are you doing here? There's a voice. What are you really taking from the other person? Nothing. Okay, you can argue that when you take the voice into your own reshus, it's a greater issa, but it's a bit difficult to understand Ramesha with that concept. No, he says, midas sedoim is if you don't intend to make money, but if you do intend to make money, Ramesha says geneva. That's it, right at the end. It's geneva. Let's understand, what is the geneva? It's a complicated question. I asked many gedolim, I met Rav Katz last week on the way out, the Rufus Zayin, and then said to me that if you're dealing with intellectual property, he says you'll get to Ramesha's tshuva, that's an extremely difficult tshuva. Everybody has a difficult time with this tshuva. I once asked Rav Belsky, the Zayin Gedolim, what's shot in this tshuva? It gave me a beautiful explanation to understand the touches of this tshuva. And listen to what he says. He says, if, let's say, we have a concept that is in Bava Kamma, the Gemara says, a concept called Zenehen of Zelechusa. What does Zenehen of Zelechusa mean? That if I live in your house, right, I'm a squatter, I live in your house, but it's a chutzah, that's not my middle omega, so there's no problem because I'm not taking anything away from you. What would happen if I live in your house, and it's the chutzah oimed l'mega, right? It's a rentable apartment. So now it's then a hand of the chutzah, and I'm stealing from you. That would be geneva. Okay, let's go to a case that would be even worse. Let's say I move into your house. I do even better. I don't move into your house. I go into your house, and I rent it out to somebody else. And I tie you up. I put you on the side.
and then I collect the rent. So that would be even a worse case. Well, let's discuss the following case. If I have a painting, and the painting is a beautiful work of art that I bought, and it's in a museum, and people pay to come in, right? It's Mara, whatever you want to call it. It's a Mara, and people pay $20 to go see this painting. So are you allowed to sneak into the museum to see my painting? Of course not. So you're going to say, what am I taking away from you? And the answer is, of course you're taking something away from me, because I charge for people to see my painting. So let's go now a step further. Let's say I tie up the owner of the museum, and every person that comes to see his painting, I'm standing there, and I collect the $20 for myself. So that would clearly be also, right? In other words, as the you take a look, the smart quotes this, there's a concept called Oichel Kaspoi Shel Chaveiroi, right? The Yechonim deal with this concept. When does money, which a person set himself up in a way, where the money is due to him, so now I am simply stealing another person's money. I have no right to do it. When a person went and he produced tapes, and the tapes that he produced was in order to make a living, and he's making money every single day and week when that tape is sold, and I go and I copy it, and I sell it, or I give it away, I'm simply Oichel Kaspoi Shel Chaveiro. That's what Ramosha held. So while Ramosha does not believe in the concept of intellectual property being an issur, Ramosha held that when your intellectual property becomes, you set yourself up in a way where that's your source of income, if you take it away, it's geneva. And I'll tell you something, it's going to be much more chumadic if the Indian is geneva, and not because of intellectual property or any of the above reasons, because by geneva it's not going to make a difference, a yid or a guy. So that's the point that Ramosh is saying. I'm just going to throw out two more possibly surim, and Ben Sashem, the next year will summarize everything. Is the Zalman Nechemi Goldberger, who's of Shlomo Zalman's Eidim, wrote a sefer called Privat Tachumim. In his sefer, he writes, a long sefer, he writes that when I sell a tape to you and I write that you're not allowed to copy it, well, I'm doing something referred to in Shulchan Aruch as Shir B'Mechira. What does Shir B'Mechira mean? If I sell something to you, I sell a house, I can sell it with the permission of Rishus HaRegel because I need to get down to the basement, so I have permission to walk through your main floor. I can sell by retaining one floor for myself. That's called Shir B'Mechira. As Zalman Nechemi Goldberger wants to tell you that when a person sells a tape to you, there is Shir B'Mechira, and therefore he restricts you and limits you in that your purchase is not a full purchase. There's a very serious issue with his theory, and the serious issue is as follows. Number one, Shir B'Mechira needs to be that I retain certain rights in the same way of the usage of the chesed that I originally had. Which means it's a house, I still can enter and use certain parts of the house. Let's say the seller of the tape has come to my house and asked me for permission to use my tape. I can tell him, no, I purchased it, you have no rights to it. So where is this Shir B'Mechira? The usage also has to be in a similar way to his original ownership, which here clearly, by a tape, does not exist. Others say a different point. Others say there's a concept of T'nai, that I sold the tape on condition that you shouldn't copy it. Now that's going to be a bit weak too. Why is that not going to work? Firstly, there are many halachas in T'nai. T'nai kai mamai, t'nai kofol kai mamai, t'nai kofol kai mamai. Secondly, would the 20 years later, the person that produced a tape, would he be willing that everybody that was over on his T'nai should return the tape to him? Right? That would not be a very good idea to go and sell tape. A T'nai, if you sold it al T'nai, and you don't keep the T'nai, you're about to the Mechira. So that wouldn't work either. Al Kapunim, those are the six Yisoides that you need to deal with whenever we deal with copyright, patent, and intellectual property. To copy another person's tape, in most cases, will be also because of one of these six reasons, even though there are tremendous machlokes in. But on the other hand, since there are six reasons, and many of them in halacha are not that accepted, we'll have many kulas, and that Ben Hashem will discuss in the final share on this topic. I just want to say, Ben Hashem, next week, I'm not going to be here. There's going to be Rabbi Gutman is going to speak on Onim HaKharura, and Ben Hashem will do the final share, the second Sunday, the last Sunday, the day after Hanukkah.